Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, wow. You guys, you poor things. Thank you so much for letting me know that. When we came on, we thought we were in here. Oh, wow. You guys missed some good stuff. You missed some good stuff. Thank you so much, Bernard. I so appreciate that. So we've been on for a good little while, and leave it to me. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't even mad. I'm just going to say leave it to me. But hello and welcome. Welcome to the Lockhart Perspective. And Luce, we got some explaining to do. So there. That's me. Okay. That's me. I thought you guys could hear me, but apparently you could not. But we do have a question from the 314-381 already. And I don't even know. Oh, okay. Let's do it that way. Yeah. Okay. We gotcha. Sorry about that, precious one. I'm so sorry. But thank goodness for friends that have my phone number, because somebody just said, hey, your mic is muted. And I'm just yakking away. How are you today, kind caller?
Well, I was doing fine when I first called. I thought I was going to be able to listen, but everything was mute.
Yes, it was. And that's okay.
I had to call Bernard.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I'm glad he was able to remind me, and I'm glad you did it, Bianchi. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You've got a voice that's a wonderful voice that reminds me of, you know, how Sammy Davis had that voice. You could hear him, and you'd know that voice anywhere, and that's the kind of voice you have. So do you have
any
topics?
I tell you, you're talking about Sammy Davis. He was such an outstanding, skillful entertainer. I can't put myself on the same shelf as he is, but I really appreciate it.
So we were talking while I was talking to myself over here about the significant winter storms that are impacting the U.S., so they say, for the first day of 2022. And they did say that there were winter storm watches as well as warnings that are in effect from the Rockies all the way into the Midwest, as a significant winter storm is expected to bring in heavy snow, ice, and bitter cold to the region. How about where you are? Is any of this affecting you? Are you in a warm climate?
Well, Felicia, I'm in my warm summer home down south, so
okay.
I don't expect to see any snowfall, but I don't like the north. You know, it's a funny thing. I was down here one year, I was at the gas pump. And this native up here, he was pumping gas. And I was telling him how bad the weather was up north, and he replied, "That's why I don't live up north." I said, "Well, that's good enough for me."
That makes good sense. Well, we're going to go on ahead, and I'll keep your line open, and I'll go on ahead and continue to read some of the stories that we were already in the throes of going through when somebody nice reminded me. Thank you, Bianchi. So it goes on to say that the 2022 will arrive with unsettled conditions across much of the United States today, New Year's, and it'll be cold in the north where we don't reside. We live down south, and it'll be warm here in the south with the Midwest forecast to remain below zero. Now, a band of cold air will clash with damp conditions to prompt the snow from New Mexico to Michigan, an area of severe weather is forecast for the southeast, while powerful thunderstorms will spread into Texas as well into the mid-Atlantic and across the Gulf Coast. Now, I love the Gulf Coast because that's where I was born. But then it goes on to say that there will be some sunny spells and showers, and they are forecast to continue moving through to the Ohio Valley all the way into New England. Now, after we did that, I wanted to let everybody know that they have once again decided that they're going to put a delay on the AT&T and Verizon wireless rollout that was, again, rescheduled for January the 5th. And the U.S. Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, and the head of the Federal Aviation Administration on Friday asked AT&T and Verizon Communications to delay the planned January 5th introduction of the new 5G wireless service over aviation and safety concerns. Now, a letter was sent out, and it was seen on Friday by Reuters. Buttigieg and the FAA Administrator Steve Dickinson asked AT&T Chief Executive John Stankey and the Verizon Chief Executive Officer Hans Vestberg for a delay of no more than 2 weeks as a part of the proposal as a new term solution for advancing the coexistence of 5G deployment and the C-band as well for safe flight operations. Now, the aviation industry and the FAA have raised concerns about the potential interference with 5G with the sensitive aircraft electronics, like their radio altimeters that could disrupt the flights. Now, the radio altimeters are just so that it can give you a little bit of a perspective for those who may not know what that does. What it does is it helps them navigate or helps them with regards to the inclement weather, and it also helps them locate the ground while they're landing and things of that nature. So what they're saying is, hey, we know that this may clash, and we're not looking forward to having an issue. The problem is that we're going to see a great decrease with regards to flights. Now, there is some backup that they had. I did review about 2 or 3 days ago prior to this coming out with regards to them asking them to delay it again. But I did go to the FAA's website, and I was studying and looking through there a little bit. And one of the things that it shows is that there are some measures that they can give to the pilots with regards to a specific type of coding that they can actually communicate. But this right here is something that is very, very serious, and it could cause quite a debacle in not only the flights or the amount of flights, but if it were to go forward while this was happening, it could also cause catastrophic injury and harm. So for anyone, I see I have another caller from 314. If you'd like to chime in, and then 804-617, if you'd like to chime in. I hope that for whomever is joining us with any questions or anything like that, please do us a big favor, because this goes over after we're done. It is going to be where others can hear it. Can you do me a favor and just sort of monitor your background for me? Caller from 804-617. Hello, and how are you? Welcome to the Lockhart Perspective.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. It's time to ride through Nebraska in the middle of a snowstorm right now.
Okay, so there is where the snow is. So tell us about that. So has it been like that for the past few days, or did it just start, or tell us about it? How many inches?
It's been off and on for the past few days. The first one dropped maybe like 4 inches. This one dropped anywhere between 5 to 10 inches. And it's been along the I-80 corridor and under the I-80 corridor. So we're talking like Chicago, Wyoming, Cheyenne, Nebraska, like Lincoln, Nebraska, all the way over, all through Denver, 76, all the way out to the West Coast. If you look at a temperature map right now, the whole, almost the entire West Coast is cold, even down
wow.
to Southern California.
Wow. Huh.
Yep.
Wow. You know, I every time I hear about weather like this, I'll be very honest with you. I cannot help but think about the fact that we do have the ability here in the United States to manipulate weather. And I'm not saying that that's the case right now. Again, as I said earlier, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, I'm being a conspiracy theorist. However, we do have to admit that our tax dollars do go to HARP, DARPA, and other organizations within our company, within our country that can do that. So when I see the drastic, you know, almost like a teeter-totter type of weather, it just makes me wonder, especially if it hits you out of nowhere. I have a caller that's actually on the line as well from 804-855. Welcome to the Lockhart Perspective. And what do you have to add today?
Hey, how's
it going? Hey, how's it going? It's hard to remember phone numbers, but thank you for saving the day for me. I appreciate it. What do you have to say on the topic of the weather today?
Well, I just wanted to say peace to Turner and Pianki. Thank you. I was actually in Florida when you texted me, but now I'm out because I didn't know Felicia was on that first spot. Now, let's bring this up.
Uh-huh.
The weather down here in Virginia is 73 degrees. So, I mean,
oh,
you
that's
know,
lovely.
Turner, he's from Virginia. Me. Yeah, it was raining all day, but then on Monday it'll be 38 back to normal Virginia weather. So the weather's been teeter-totter down here. And people are going into testing lines to get tested for COVID, but really, to be honest with you, shoot, daggone, the weather changed. It's so fluid cloud, you can have some pneumonia, anything out here right now. But mm-hmm. the weather patterns have been weird. And, I mean, Turner can witness this. A 73-degree day in Virginia is when people just go crazy. They might be wearing tank tops, booty shorts, whatever out here today. but where he's at in Nebraska, I mean, it's Cornhusker State. We got Penn State. You know, all those areas out there. But these weather patterns have been very abnormal, as you can say. So you
mm-hmm.
couldn't doubt HARP or Operation Popeye, whatever. But it is very abnormal to have these teeter-totter
mm-hmm.
weather patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
but I will say that I'm glad that you know that we got an understanding that you know you can manipulate weather patterns. And can, I mean, really, to tell you the truth, it's all science.
Mm-hmm.
So hey.
Yeah, they did teach us about seeding clouds. They did teach us about seeding clouds in school and stuff. I remember learning about that, the cirrus clouds and the different
well,
types
yeah,
of clouds.
Yeah, cloud seeding.
Cloud seeding.
Listen, Turner. But listen, Turner, when you tell people that you learned in school, they say you didn't learn in school. No, you won't read the books yet. That's all.
They were absent that day is what I say all the time. Yes?
And they have motives to do it. I mean, you got so many motives from business being in the pockets of politicians and government agencies that control it all the way to just basically just you know, if a company pays, say I got a rock stock company. I got the number one rock stock company in the United States, and we've consolidated and bought up a bunch of other companies, it would behoove me in order to pay, you know, some government agency to make it snow a little more. Because of the amount of snow they have out here, things like rock salt and stuff like that, they got it out here. They throw it out like candy. I mean, it's bouncing all across. I don't even know what it's doing to the environment. I mean, they just dumping it.
Well, I'll say this, at least those areas have it out. I do remember there was a while ago in the South, and it hit both Atlanta as well as Alabama and possibly a few other areas, but there was a nice little freeze in 2014, and they did not know how to react. And it's amazing because they had in Atlanta, for example, they had everything that they needed that was in surplus for them to roll the trucks and put the tar and do all the, as you say, the salt and all of that, and they didn't do it. And so they had major pileups. They had people that were stuck inside of places. I know that in Alabama, there were people stuck inside of their work and their workplaces. They were stuck inside of cars along highways. It was an unbelievable mess. But to your point, yes, considering the fact that, yes, we do have the ability to manipulate the weather, it would behoove a specific area to say, hey, you know what? We need a little bit more work down here. And if you've got it like that, you know what I mean? I guess they got it like that. Or they can talk to somebody and say, hey, what can you see about doing X, Y, or Z in our region? That brings up another question. I want to remind everybody that during the time that there was Bernie Sanders running for office, or they had to get him in with the votes this last time against the seated president, there was a tornado actually that went through Tennessee. And that particular area of Tennessee, I thought about this, was one of the areas where it was very, very heavily populated with Bernie Sanders voters. And on that exact day, there was the worst tornado that had gone through and leveled buildings. And I remember thinking quite curiously about that on the day that it happened. I said, go figure. What are the chances? It's just one of those things that make you go, I also wanted to bring up another thing to give us a little bit of a conversation about that. The U.S. wildfires prompt evacuations on New Year's Eve. So yesterday, more than 550 homes were consumed by suburban wood wildfires that burned through 6,000 acres in Colorado and approximately 30,000 residents of communities in north of Denver were evacuated on Friday, and at least 20 were forced to spend New Year's Eve at emergency shelters. Severe drought conditions and unusually high temperatures in large regions of the United States caused many wildfires throughout December. Preliminary investigations suggest high winds brought down power lines that sparked the fires. Now, the gentleman who's calling, who's saying you're going through that region of the, I think you said you were going through the I-80 corridor. Have you seen a mixture of not only the snow coming down, but also maybe in the area, perhaps some of that cloudy thickness that smoke makes, no matter if there's snow or not? Have you seen anything like that?
No, I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm headed that way, though. I have to go through Wyoming first, and then I get to Colorado. But
okay.
I have seen a lot of the fires and stuff on the West Coast. Like, as you're riding down the highway, you'll see, like, firefighters putting out fires on the side of the road all the way up the highway. So,
wow.
The West Coast, I mean, it's almost to the point that they're used to it or whatever. But they're getting a little relief because Colorado got some snow. And speaking on that, what has me tripping now is the West Coast is dry. The East Coast is flooded. Why can't we pipe water to the West Coast like we pipe oil and everything else?
You know, that is a good question. And in America, I have really stopped asking a lot of them, because the things that make sense, if it's the ability to do that, they generally won't do anything that makes sense. Now, again, I don't know the logistics. I'm not an engineer. That'd be one of my brothers or my dad. They could, you know, tell us the answer to that, or even, you know, somebody who's been in the military as an engineer. I don't know. But it goes without saying. I heard somebody say a few minutes ago, and I think that was our caller, I think that was Bernard, where he mentioned that people were standing in lines. I wrote down a note here to ask, why are they standing in lines to get those particular tests or whatnot? I don't get it. I really don't. Is it because, I don't know, why are they standing in line? It's that kind of question. It's like, I don't know. Why are they standing in line there, Bernard? He may not
be on
the
line. Well, they're standing in line.
Uh-huh.
You hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
Well, they're standing in line for COVID tests, but I'm saying that it's just like it's around the block, and it's like a voting line. You got people waiting for 6 hours and stuff. I mean, like, this stuff is, like, literally crazy. Like, I mean,
that's my question. Why are they in the line? Are they running out of tests? Are they given a deal? Or
Well, one thing you got to remember, the PCR test just expired last night. They can't use it anymore. But that's one part of it. But the other part is, some of them say they got to do it for their job. Some people are doing it to fly. And some people are doing it because they're saying that these at-home test kits are not in the pharmacy right now, as you would well know, because if you drive up the supply and demand and you panic people, they'll go to get the tests from the local thing. I know a guy that's a firefighter, right? And he tested negative at home but positive at work. And the other person I know tested positive at vice versa.
At work? And, oh, okay, okay,
yeah, no.
Okay.
No, it's just wow. Negative at work, but positive at home. So
uh-huh.
There's a whole lot of confusion. And then you also mm-hmm. have people who I know that, you know there's nothing wrong with them, just going to get a test, and hopefully they test positive. And they could be out of work for 5 days or whatever. Probably someone
wow.
Went to the club last night. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I mean, hey, man, you got some of these jobs got COVID leave. I can tell you daggone, you know, the post office got, I think some of them, they had 600 hours of COVID leave at one point. So people use anything as a crutch. I mean, it's all types of reasons. I know another mm-hmm. girl that went to Jamaica for the holiday, and she had to pick a test to get back on the plane, and she's still quarantined over there. And, but the thing that got me yesterday, Anthony Fauci did say they overcount the number of deaths in children, but he also said that they're telling you now, don't flood the hospitals. Go to your local clinic. The symptoms are mild. They're actually saying this now. So it goes with Donald Trump said last year. A lot of people got mad at him for saying this, but if he's saying, they were saying that people make simple decisions. No, they don't. Because all you got to do is stir up a panic and people go into panic. But they were saying, Donald Trump said, I don't want the people to panic, right? But you know, daggone, anytime you create a mass hysteria, people will panic, especially these people down here. I mean, them people with panic. I mean, everything is a new thing. Daggone, they tell you, we only got 10 PS5s in the store. We only got a pair of Jordans in the store. Then people are telling me the Jordans are $500. Anytime you say limited supply only, you get people to run. And then what they do, just for Valentine's Day, Christmas, daggone, hey, I don't even do Christmas shopping, right? But I tell you this, if I was, I wouldn't get it during Christmas. I get it after the day when they mock the product down. They mock it up for the day, and then they mock it down after the day. I mean, it's common sense. It's business 101, but people are not even paying attention. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just mind-boggling me. It's kind of like Turner said, we learn this stuff in school. You learn supply and demand in school. Like, Turner was talking about earlier this year. It was a trucker shortage, and he's driving box trucks across the country. Hey, there ain't no truckers bag on working. They hire a box truck driver. What the hell? I don't get it. I mean, it's weird.
Well,
hey,
go ahead.
There's something else, too. I'm sorry, real quick. Something else, too, that I'm laughing about. That same process works even with comedy shows. I throw a free comedy show. I can't get a crowd in there. I charge people, I guess because they see value in being charged. I get a bigger crowd.
Oh, I know that to be a true thing. I, you know, have a license to do hair, and I would, you know, say, hey, if you do this, you know, here's my special for the month. You know, I'll give you your free conditioner and I'll trim your ends with your purchase of your relaxer, X, Y, or Z. Do you know that people will wait until after it's over to come and get it? And I'm like, but it's free. It's no charge. Okay, well, you want the extra $30? I'll tack it on. I don't have a problem taking it. But it is true. When things are free, especially within certain cultures, I see that they will not give any patronage to anything that something is free. And I think it's also because a lot of people want to know, well, what's in it? What's going on? Why is it bad? You know, what is the problem? Are the comics not funny? Who's there? Who's going to be there? But as you said something like we're giving – now, I will say this. Imagine giving a free charity type of concert or comedian show. And maybe you've got a big, big, big name. That person will definitely fill out the house. However, if you're just a standard comedian, you might be right on that one, seeing how you've done this and seen this before. You know, while we were just talking about the fact that people were really lining up outside of different places to go and get this test, I am reminded about what went on or what's going on right now in the most vaccinated place on earth. They were told to cancel their holidays there in Gibraltar. Now, Gibraltar is a little bitty, teeny, tiny place. It's a tiny territory, and it has announced that a raft of new health updates following a drastic rise in their COVID-19 cases. The British-owned peninsula, often referred to as the most vaccinated place on earth for having inoculated the entirety of its adult population, has seen cases of numbers that are steadily on the rise through the months of October and November. I don't have the stats for December, but if those 2 months are any indication as what they have the availability to do, I would only imagine that they're still yet through the roof. With that said, Health officials governing the 34,000-strong population believe that the sudden resurgence or reemergence of the virus to be a cause for concern after 124 cases appeared over the period of the weekend that this story was done. And this story was done on November 18th, right? Okay, so they had 124 new cases at that time. The Gibraltar has seen an average of 56 cases per day over the last 7 days with a comparison of 10 per day in September. Now, the number of active cases then at the time set at 474 and roughly 1.3% of the population. So now as of November the 17th, the recent spike was the biggest surge that they had seen in the tiny little populace since January of 2021. Gibraltar's vaccination rate is currently at a peculiar 118%, and that is peculiar. You got 100% of the adults done, but they're at 118%, taking into account the fully vaccinated Spaniards who travel across its border each day. So that was possibly where that uptick of the 118 comes from. Now, despite the ongoing resurgence of from world governments, the widespread vaccination of the populations has unfortunately failed to ease rising cases and numbers for some densely populated nations. Now, the thing that I wanted to ask you guys about was, how is it that they're saying that this thing really does work if you have a place that's as dense as Gibraltar and they don't seem to have a handle on it? It seems very alarming. What do you guys say about that? I see two other callers. I have one that is a 111 number. I think it's my co-host. Hold on. Let's see. Hello, 11111. How are you?
Hey there, Hotep Kenyatta calling. Hello. Sorry, I'm not the co-host. Hey,
okay.
How are you?
Well, no, I said that there's another gentleman that calls in. And he doesn't give his name, but he is so hilarious. He gives really good he gives really good points, just like you, and so I thought that maybe this was him. But nonetheless, welcome to the Lockhart Perspective today. What do you
have
to say on that topic?
Well, I think that this virus, COVID-19, and all its various forms, if we look at it historically, how Western so-called civilization has treated Native Indians and Black people, Africans, germ warfare has also often played a role. Now, if we also look at it, that there are legitimate viruses that have impacted humanity, the bubonic plague and other scenarios, then we see that, okay, there are legitimate viruses and bacteria that have impacted humans negatively. But also there's the thing of germ warfare and who gives us the information, where do we get the research, the analysis, who has the $8 million microscopes necessary to do the deeper interest investigations, you know? So I'm one that tends to err on the side of caution, especially I feel like see Germany and the Hitler and his people giving us information. It's very alarming, but who else will give us? So, you know, we have to depend on the system's data. But it's interesting, they didn't care so much about malaria, but they care so much about COVID. You know, they didn't care so much about the many people starving and then still people starving in the world, but they care about COVID, not mentioning who owns the patent. I'm sorry, there are patents too, yeah.
Yes, there are patents.
Trademarks and patents and, yeah. So
which
why not put that, I keep saying.
It's like throw them in jail. I mean, if you've done this to humanity and you own the patent, then to me you should be able to receive everything that goes along with it to include being thrown behind the jail or maybe, you know, take them out at dawn and handle whatever you got to handle. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, give them some shots and
yeah,
some vaccines,
you know,
of their
here
own.
Here you go. Here you go. If it's good, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander.
It's good for the right home.
It's good for the right one, you know. So what do you think about Israel? Now, you know, Israel starts off the new year offering that fourth COVID vaccine. Now, I think that it's to me, it's a little sad because on New Year's Day, healthcare workers in Israel began a new round of COVID-19 vaccine booster shots. People with compromised immune systems and residents of long-term care centers will get a fourth dose of the Pfizer mRNA vaccines. Israel enjoys a very high vaccination rate, and it's the first country to issue a public health directive to administer a second booster injection. Despite this measure, health officials expect to see 20,000 new daily infections during the early days of 2022. I don't know how they get those numbers, but maybe they're basing them on other things over the past few days. What do you guys think about them rolling that out as the fourth one going to the arms of those who have compromised immune systems and the fourth for the elderly who are in those homes? Oh, anybody that has their hand raised, 714, your line is open. Please, you guys, though, I want to remind everybody, 314, all of us, please remember to not use any curse words that are vulgar. I mean, you can cuss, but you can't go, like, to the F words. No F-bombs and none of that stuff. But, you know, AT double hockey sticks is really a place. That type of stuff. Okay? So anyone that would like to address the topic that we just mentioned with regards to Israel doing what they're doing. I'm absolutely amazed. I'm amazed at what they're doing. Caller 972-388. Welcome to the Lockhart Perspective today. What do you have to say?
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, family. It's your boy Shaq coming out of Texas. How you doing today, Ms. Lockhart?
Hello, Shaq, and welcome. Welcome. What do you think about that, what they're doing there in Israel?
I'm trying to understand why is they doing it, because I thought Israel was doing pretty good with their health and stuff, because they're the number one country for us veganism and stuff like that, and I thought their healthcare system was pretty good. So I don't know what's I got a friend that's over there that's connected. I could call him and ask him. I know he ain't taking it. So
well, if you can get him on the three-way, yeah, that'd be great. Because my question really is, why are they pushing the number four shot? Why are we at the fourth booster there? And I know that they're trying to prompt people to do that here, but I would think that there should be enough data for them, because see, the deal is that it is still in the trial stages, and I would imagine that they should have enough data to know exactly where we are. But in Israel, we do seem to see an increase in them pushing it. But they also are, just like Gibraltar, they're one of the areas that are most ill. 314-381, what do you have to say on the topic?
Let me see if I can make a call.
Yeah, 314-381, what do you think about that, about what they're doing there in Israel, giving the fourth one? That's a lot, right?
Well, Felicia, I don't have no comment on it. I'm just listening. There's a lot of good comments made. And I haven't been keeping up with Israel. Keep on talking.
What's going on, Bianca?
I just love it.
What's up, Bianca?
Yeah. Bianca, everybody's giving you greetings.
What do you say, Bernard? Shaq?
What's going on, Bianca? What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing, man?
Hey, Frank.
Happy New Year.
What up?
Happy, happy, happy day. It's good to talk to you. So, Frank, what do you have to say about it? Have you any idea, you know, about the number four shot?
It's all about money, man. I mean, money. I mean, didn't the CDC cat, the director or something like that, not too long ago, some months ago, he said that, you know, this is going to be a seasonal thing, you know. So, I mean, it's not surprising. People kind of tell you what they do before they do it. You know what I'm saying? Just like subliminal stuff in movies, they have to tell you what they do before they do it, and they put it in the movie. But see, we just look at it from the entertainment aspect and not from the actual truth part. You see what I'm saying? They give the truth in the movies, and they give you the BS on the news. That's how. But it's all about money, you know.
They're all about the money.
Keep you being a drug addict, a permanent drug addict. You see, that lets you know that that the Iran-Contra was actually official and was true, and they were actually bringing drugs into this country, because now they're making people drug addicts in the country. So.
Yeah, they want us to say no to drugs, but they've got this over-the-counter culture that they're pushing. Has anyone seen the movie Don't Look Up? I had the fortune or unfortunate or great fortune a few weeks ago, actually about 2 weeks ago, of watching it. and it may have even been last week. The dates and everything just sort of melts together. But Netflix movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio and directed by Adam McKay has sparked debate about the dangers of radical ideology as they apply to the pressing issues of climate change. Don't Look Up has been streaming since Christmas Eve for Netflix subscribers in the United States. And in just a few days, the film critics have added it to their list of the year's best movies. The dark comedy plot, Don't Look Up, follows two astronomers as they try to warn the White House officials about a forthcoming cataclysmic involvement with a comet. But what the film critics have latched onto is the underlying satire of modern American politics. The film also has attracted negative reactions from supporters of former President Donald Trump because they feel that their political movement is being unjustly ridiculed. Who has the first thing to say about that?
Great movie. One of the best movies I'd seen. Halfway in the middle, my children and I thought that it would take a left or right turn and make it kind of propaganda, but it actually shows... Well, I won't give it away, but it shows some of the greed and arrogance of many of the leaders. So that's all I'll say.
Didn't it though? Well, first of all, I'm gonna talk about it. I'm not gonna give you guys the end, but I am gonna give you possibly what you could possibly read if you were to look at the reviews or whatnot or something, or maybe get the synopsis. I really thought it was a good movie. I like Jonah Hill. I thought he was hilarious. He is such a good, he's a very strong actor, that kid. And then I also, DiCaprio, he sort of concerned me because I was looking at him in the very beginning thinking he was just this, you know, normal guy, a little conservative cat. But he ended up making some decisions that in real life I just could not see. But nonetheless, the movie itself got me thinking about how we in America, where we put our value, the things that we put our value in. Here these people are trying to warn everybody that there's a comet that's coming and that it is more than cataclysmic. It's like lights out, right? And everybody and their mama is focusing on the happy-go-lucky life and the, you know, it reminds me of Bright and Shiny off of Bubble Boy. It's like this bus full of people who really just can't get it together. They are so, you know, hell-bent on being positive that none of them are looking at the reality of what's going on. None of them. None of them. And they even had a, and I can't even say that it was a cameo because he was in the whole movie. And that was the guy who plays Madea. What is his name? The one who plays Madea? Yes. I was really alarmed to see him in there, but he was just, oh, and he reminded me of the guy who used to play Strahan. That's who he reminded me of. I look at Strahan sometimes and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Everything is, I mean, he reminds me of Robin Quivers. True. You know, he reminds me of Robin Quivers back in the 80s, how she, everything was just funny. No matter what Rob, you know, Stern said, everything to her was hilarious. I haven't seen her in ages. She's probably still the same way if she's still with us. But the point I'm making is everything is funny. Nothing is taken serious. Anybody else on the line had the opportunity to see that show, Don't Look Up?
By the way, it's not that they don't take things serious. I think the caricature that most black people in news give is one of, you know, the jester. And if they seem too intense, eloquent, and argumentative, they're considered troublesome. So I think they just smile, just like
trust
on the plantation.
Trust me, I know.
Oh, okay.
I worked in a couple of different radio locations. One in Missouri, well, actually three. One in Missouri, two in Missouri, and one in Texas. And if you are loquacious, or if you can conjugate a verb and you have the audacity to be in radio, you do seem to have to, radio or even television, they do seem to expect you to just be, you cannot be any form of, there can be no form of controversy. Because if it is, then you're the angry black whatever, or the angry, you know, whatever, whatever the word would be at that particular moment. So I have to agree with you. There is some truth there. However, I would have to say that the giddiness that they do is just too much over the top for me. And that movie was a prime example of it. prime example. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to share about that topic? If you've not seen the movie, it is called Don't Look Up, and there is no shameless plug here because I don't get a penny for sharing it at all. But I will tell you that, yeah, it is a movie, and you may just want to go out and see it. It's called Don't Look Up, and they say that it's a metaphor for political divide and climate change. You know, here's why I don't so much support the whole idea of climate change, and that is because I know that we have things that can maneuver, that can manipulate the weather. That's why I don't get with climate change, because I know we have it. I know it exists, and so I can't even support the idea. I feel like if they're so concerned about climate change, one of the things that I said was, okay, if you say that using plastic straws are getting people thrown in jail in California, then why are we putting all of the things that we used to put in paper or put in cardboard boxes now in big plastic? You can't even find a box of, well, for the most part, a box of laundry detergent. Right now, mostly every store has sort of condensed their cabinet space, as it were, and they have lots of bottles. Well, that's all plastic. The milk that we used to get inside of glass, now it's all plastic. So my thing is that if you're concerned about these things, why not get rid of all the plastic and go back to what is biodegradable? I don't know. So I have a problem with the whole climate change idea. That's one. And the other reason is because I know we have HAARP, and I know we've got DARPA, and I know we have a lot of ways to manipulate weather. And so that's why I don't get down with the whole, you know, climate change thing. Oh, it's so hot that by this time, in 12 years, no humans are going to be around. Well, yeah, with the way y'all going, sticking stuff inside of people, you just might be right. We're going to take a quick break, and it is going to be about a maybe 2 minute and 57 minute break. 2 minute and 57 second break. You guys will be able to go grab a bite or grab a beverage or something and meet us right back here. We're going to listen to one song by Ronnie Mann, and that is Joel 3. And this is our news for today. What do you think and what do you have to say right here on the Lockhart Perspective? We'll be right back.
If you're gonna do it, we'll
And that was Joel 3. So it's basically talking about the Valley of Decisions. Joel 3 by Ronnie Mann. And I am so, so happy. Whenever I hear good uplifting music, it just makes me happy. It gives me all the joy in the world. Now, I wanted to ask everybody if you are familiar with what's going on with the churches. Right now, it appears that they are allowing churches, or they will be. Let me just say it like this. Churches could double as banks or even serve beer. We can't leave them empty. So let's get right into this. It comes from The Guardian. For the first time, possibly in a millennium, fewer than half of all the Britons call themselves Christians. This month's updating of the 2011 census suggests that the latest figures is down to 60% to 51%, with predictions that next year it will be in the 40s. So no one knows what the pandemic has done to the religious faith, but the trend across the Western world is the same, at least in wealthier countries. Religion of any sort is becoming a minority practice. Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, is an ardent evangelical. His Anglican church just spent a phenomenal £240 million since 2017 on a mission to plant new churches, apparently to no avail. Vicars are some of the most dedicated and public service-minded people I know. They are underpaid and overworked. They will be further demoralized by the predictions of the 26% of worshipers poised to desert, just to get rid of them altogether, to desert their congregations after COVID. Yet the public will regard all this as Christianity's problem, not theirs. As the retreat continues, some will shed a tear, but few will worry. They should, for one reason. This ebbing tide will leave on the foreshore an astonishing litter of church buildings. Of the 16,000 English parish churches and the 12,500 are listed for preservation, 3,000 in grade one status or grade I status. Indeed, 45% of all of England's grade I structures are places of worship. No other country has a legacy even remotely as splendid or precious. These buildings are undemolishable. Though standing mostly empty and underdressed or undernourished and just going down in disrepair, churches have an eerie hold on the local people, churches and atheists alike, Christians and atheists alike. The church history there for their museum place and the ceremony of their source of comfort. Now, let me get down here because I'm starting to get sick of reading a bunch of stuff just for the writer to get to the good part. All right. So what they're doing is now they are about to allow these churches to be a little bit redone. This has to be the greatest challenge ever to face the cultural conservation in Britain. In the next 5 years, it's estimated that about 350 churches face closure or being demolished. Most understand that churches already share services with a vicar and with others. You can share a vicar, but you can never share a church any more than you can share a community. Its very presence denies it. Now, at this point, they're going to regard this issue for the country as just their problem, but it looks like it may be a problem across the world to include the United States. Because a lot of the churches that have been shuttered, for example, here in the United States, have nothing else that can be done with them. Now, some could go on ahead and just change them up, turn them into something else. But these are considering turning them into pubs. These are precisely the services that are being evicted, the churches and all of that. From the high streets under the government planning reforms, thousands of village shops must be closing, and the pubs are now frequently shutting. And so they're switching up, if you can imagine that. They're literally switching up, and these places are going to be repurposed for pubs, repurposed for places where they can drink, where they can party, where they can do whatever they want to do. Now, I'll say this. In California, that was not a big deal because the Forum, which was a place where they used to just play sports and have all types of comedy acts come in, they repurposed the entire Forum in the United States there in Inglewood for a church. And the forum had some real things going on, everything from Mick Jagger to you name it. They were bumping and grinding and doing all kind of stuff one day, and the next day they were playing a game. So what do you guys think about them repurposing buildings that have some type of quote-unquote, you know, religious connotation to them? Does anybody even care? Or do you feel like most people, this is just a building, and it doesn't matter because the church is in you? Are there any takers on this topic? Because to me, I think that it is an indication of what's going on. It really is. It's a sad. It's not only just the churches, if we want to throw it in there, it's not just the churches that can be repurposed. You've got a lot of businesses that shuttered here in the States, as an example. And a lot of those places that you used to go and maybe grab a quick beverage or something, mom and pop store, they're not there anymore. Does anybody have anything to say about this topic?
It does seem to be a natural progression to go from having a church making money to having a pub making money, since money often is the ultimate objective. So I'm not surprised. I'm surprised they don't put some strip clubs in there. And throw kids in for the preachers, you know, to molest. Unfortunately.
You know what I say? I say entertainment is entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay. All
right.
Church
is entertainment to a lot of people, just like these, just like those places. Same thing. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people that really go into church to get, you know what I'm saying? They're there for a fashion show. They're there for to impress. They're there to not even, you know, look at certain scriptures of the Bible, just like the same ones, like over and over again. It seems like. So I mean, it just seems like it's an entertainment thing, man. So money makes money, man. Like the caller just said, too, kind of like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Entertainment is entertainment.
It's all entertainment. Go ahead, somebody say. Okay, hold on. Tell me, okay, I hear you. I do know your voice, Bernard, but I thought I heard another voice. Hold on, Bernard. Turner said something? Okay. Go ahead, Bernard.
Oh, well, it go to show you, hey, look, you know the old saying, the devil going to beat you in your home. So, hey, look, churches, I ain't surprised at that. I mean, down here in some church down here in Richmond, Virginia, they might bring Pharrell Williams or a daggone pop top entertainer to come and say, hey, how you doing? Get out there and vote. So it's the same thing. The church has basically become a den of demons. I mean, then the thing about it is, this is nothing new to me because I knew girls, that were in church, back then they were doing this. So, matter of fact, if they put a casino in a church, some people would still take it down here. All these daggone church folks down here pushing one casino when that thing was open, they'd be right out shopping and do it for the casino.
Wow.
I mean, becoming a damn fashion show kind of like this. I mean, you had the big hit. And I'm going to be dead honest with you. Most of them don't go to church nowhere but on Easter Sunday anyway. But it don't matter.
Well, I understand that. Well, I wanted to ask you guys before we get off, we're going to throw this topic down here, and this will probably be the one that we close on because it's really, really something that I think everybody should listen to. And here's why I say that. As it relates to the country that I'm about to do this story on, I believe that they have more invested here in the United States than anyone would ever imagine they do. And it is none other than China. China is developing terrifying brain control weapons, which could be used to paralyze and control its enemies and its own people. Washington has reportedly sanctioned Beijing's Academy of Military Medical Science and 11 other research firms for using biotechnology. One of the weapons reported being developed is a purported brain control weaponry, according to the Washington Times. Now, the Chinese institutes were blacklisted by the American Commerce Department last week, and the government department did not go into the details about the sinister weapons. However, 2019 military documents seen by the news outlet did offer some insight. It reads, China wants to paralyze and control the opponent, attacking their enemies' their will to resist. Put this closer to my ear because my grandkids are going to have me close the door up there. I don't want to go off in you guys' ears because I definitely could, for those of you who know me from YouTube. So China wants to paralyze and China wants to paralyze and control the opponent by attacking the enemy's will to resist, the report says. The weapon would not be used to kill or destroy bodies, the docs reports state. However, after being placed on the entity list, American firms can no longer export or transfer goods to the banned Chinese Institute without license. This comes amid the government's warnings to U.S. firms that China is trying to obtain American technology to take over key sectors, including biotech. A source told the FT that the Communist Party is trying to develop tech in areas such as gene editing, human performance enhancement, and brain-machine interfaces. Gina Raimondo, the United States Secretary, the Commerce Secretary, said there are concerns Beijing will use any such weaponry to maintain control over its citizens, including the Uyghur Muslims, more than a million of whom are being held in camps in northern China. She said, quote, unfortunately, the People's Republic of China is choosing to use these technologies to pursue control over its people and its repression of members of the ethnic and religion minority groups. Quote, we cannot allow U.S. commodities, technologies, and software that support medical science and biotechnology innovation to be diverted toward uses contrary to the United States national security, close quote. The FT said the United States Treasury Department would put eight firms, including drone maker DJI Technology, on its, quote, Chinese military industrial complex companies blacklist. The report said the move was over the company's alleged involvement in surveillance of the Uyghur Muslims minority. U.S. investors are barred from taking stakes in companies on the list, which now comprise of 60 firms. In response, Beijing's foreign ministry spokesperson Zhao Lijian said China was opposed to the United States' suppression of its companies and would pay close attention to how the situation develops. Meanwhile, China has rapidly modernized its military over the past three decades, escalating fears that Beijing could draw a party with Washington in the coming years. In the coming years. Earlier this year, the Asian superpower allegedly flew a hypersonic nuclear missile around the world. Ethan Paul, an expert at the Quincy Institute responsible for statecraft, told The Sun, quote, we are in the very beginning of a never-ending cycle. The United States and China will continue to take steps to try to exploit each other's vulnerabilities, and it will inevitably see the entire Asian-Pacific region wired up with the most powerful, sophisticated, and deadly weapons that ever existed. What do you guys think about that? Wow. Wow. And we're in bed with them, and that's the reason why I'm saying wow. Because we're literally in bed with these folks. And we put stories out like this that take people aback and make them think that, well, we're not in bed with them. So what's, you know, we need to get them. We need to get them. What do you guys say? I mean, it's brain control. It's literally brain control that they have. Now, here's what I always say, that if they're coming out telling you something, it's because they've already got it. It's not that they're working on it. It's not that they've got the chance to make it. Mm-mm. They've got it. If they're saying it, it's because they've already got it. It's already out. Now, it reminds me of what was going on when people were in Cuba and they were in other places. We had some ambassadors and some diplomats in other places, other countries, and they came back to say that, you know, I had this terrible, terrible headache, or I had this debilitating situation where I could not move. This, I believe, is possibly that because there were no explanations for how these people were attacked in a different country. The ambassadors from the United States and other places would go into other areas And while they were staying in the hotel or while they were in another area, they would literally have these terrible, terrible headaches. They could not see. They were blinded. It sounded like somebody was hollering in their head. It was all these terrible things. And then when they would go and have an MRI or see a neurologist, nothing was wrong. Nothing was wrong. They could not figure it out. So do you think that this is something to be concerned with or no? Or should we just not pay any attention to it at all? Maybe it's fake. Is this fake news?
Probably not. Japan had already developed a tool that could impact a human and make you move your legs and arms a certain way. And that's just Japan. They're not as, I would guess, powerful as China. If China were not able to impact us militarily, I wonder if our government would even care. Meaning they know that that could be used against U.S. soldiers in a war. That is probably the top concern as opposed to the average American. If the average American were the concern during the pandemic to worry about certain bills, because the government would say, you're all Americans, we're going to provide. But it's an all global war, China, America, Russia, the rest of us are just cannon fodder. Thanks.
Well, China currently possesses around 100 intercontinental ballistic missiles that have the potential to strike the continental U.S., but little is known about Beijing's hypersonic development program. The world's most populous country still lags behind Washington in terms of its nuclear warheads, possessing a reported 350 compared to the United States' 500, well, actually 5,500. And that's amazing to me how we always go around and tell everybody else they can't have something, but yet we have it. And I'm not saying it's a problem that we have it. What I'm just saying is, yikes. That in tandem with the fact that we're always the country screaming about, you know, human rights and things that are going on in other countries. And, oh, they use sarin gas on their own people. When just the other morning I opened up my front door and there was a bevy of crisscrosses in the sky that I know did not happen between the nightfall and the morning on their own. Literally crisscrosses all over the sky. So my point is that America does a lot of bad stuff. But this right here is one of the things that look like we better sharpen it up, but I don't think we care. Why do I feel that way? I feel like we don't care because if I look at everything that we've left and everything that we've done for this past year, for example, over the past year, we left 850 billion, was it? Was it billion with a B? Or was it 85 billion? Somebody help me. Over in Afghanistan, I know it was either 850 or 85 billion with a B. All of the brand new equipment that had been purchased and sent over there, it's still there. And then we're actually considering shipping some of our other stuff to other places. So I don't understand what's going on other than the fact that those who've taken over our country, because it has been a coup d'etat, I do believe our country's been taken over. I do. And it's going to only get worse. But I will say that, yeah, it looks like we're in on it with them because we don't have anybody that's standing up and anybody who's in a position to do anything. They're not. There's not going to be anybody. I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Am I just overreacting? Are my hormones just getting the best of me? Is this an estrogen rant, or am I on to something?
It wouldn't be the first time that the was it 50 days in May or something like that. Smiley Butler wrote a book. You know, this Smiley Butler. They try to commission him to take over the United States or whatever with the 500,000 soldiers at the time that they had. So, he gave up the people, or whatever, and crashed that whole situation. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, man. I mean, they tried to do it before. This government is corrupt, man. And my thing is too. Another thing is China got that. What does Israel got, right? That's my thing. What does Israel got?
Well,
China got
that
kind of thing. Israel like fourth. They're like fourth in arms and nuclear weapons too. So we don't talk about it's when America is a certain way and they're corrupt. Then watch their allies. That's how you gotta look at it. Watch their allies, man.
America's allies are America, because when I look at Israel, all I see is that's them there and that's them here. They're the same to me. And that's just my personal opinion. I feel like the Israel you see over there is the Israel that's here. That's I believe that this country is run by Israel. I don't think that there's much that we can do that they don't have a say in. I think all of our land is owned by China, as it's represented by the amount of farmland that they have here. It's possible that all the farmland, all the food is being shipped, being made here on our soil, and then being shoveled over the water to them. I mean, they own a lot of farmland. So I don't think that, you know, because we are a corporation here, I just think that they're running everything like a business, but they don't care if they are, you know, ruining the store. It's like, who's minding the store? Nobody. You know what I mean? It's like somebody is shoveling their meat. If you have if you're the manager of a meat market and you are selling the meat out the back door, it's that type of environment here. That's how I feel. Until they find out who it is that's making the balance sheet off, they're going to keep employing that manager thinking that they're okay. So as long as we don't know exactly who it is, it's just going to keep going. Caller number 607-281. Hello and welcome to the Lockhart Perspective. And good afternoon to you. What say you?
Hello.
Hi, I also have caller 210 that'll be coming on the line, and if caller 757 wants to chime in, you are welcome to. Caller 607, go right ahead.
I just sent you an article. It said that the $89 billion was overinflated. It was actually supposed to be $82.9 billion. Yeah.
Oh, it's none other than my
or was
wonderful
it?
Assistant.
No, actually, I think it was down from $85 billion to $82.9 or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, it is. I see it. Yeah. The Taliban seized an arsenal of the United States, made the military equipment when it overran the Afghan army, but not nearly as much as the numerous Republicans have claimed, the numbers that Republicans have claimed. Potato. They're splitting hairs. Aren't they? Yep. They're splitting hairs. The fact is, it wouldn't matter if you left them one bobby pin and a pack of bubble gum. You shouldn't have left it if my tax dollars paid for it. I want my daddy's records, like Blind Mellow Jelly off of Red Fox.
And let the American government tell on themselves about the stuff they have to control the brain and to kill people silently, mm-hmm. and lots of stuff I've seen over the past, let's say, year and a half, patents mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So every time they're pointing a finger at another country, even if it is China, why mm-hmm. do we have to have the baddest, worst, weapons? And mm-hmm. who do we think they experimented on to get these weapons?
Exactly. Exactly.
We got as bad, if not worse, than everything we're pointing fingers at other countries for doing. Our country our leaders are full of dog crap. They're mean, they're evil, and they hate us all.
Well, I have to concur. Caller 210-966, welcome to the Lockhart Perspective. What do you have to add to that?
I'm going to say, I think the lady, she was correct with the numbers. I think it was like 85. So,
yes.
Yeah. So now
they downgraded it. Mm-hmm.
It still don't mean nothing because, hell, they could have gave black people that, and you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. Now, she said they were dog doo-doo. I feel offended. I feel like they're lower than dog doo-doo. So, they know they wrong for everything that they did. But now what I will say is I think because United States, we put ourselves in the middle of all of these peoples and mm-hmm. they see the way that they're feeding from us. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think this 5G is going to activate what's going on. And the ones who don't take it, I think we're the ones who are going to be getting the migraines and things like that. You know, the side effects of not taking it, the shortness mm-hmm. of breath and all that. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. this has something to do with the 5G. And from mm-hmm. my understanding, from talking to a couple of people who done, been in the military and stuff, they saying that the United States military done moved from 5G to 7G. So what does 7G look like?
I can agree because I know that. I know that we get the residual of what they already had, right? It's like everything that they had, now we get it as regular people, like cell phones and all that other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if everybody on the line heard this, but did you heard this? Were you on the line when we were talking about how they've now asked AT&T and Verizon to push back their date, not later than 2 weeks after the January 5th date, to roll out their 5G while they finish tweaking some things to get some things all right for the aviation, the Federal Aviation Administration. Were you on the line then?
No, I missed that. I was trying to get on the line when you were saying all of that.
Okay, well, what happened was the United States Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, and the head of the Federal Aviation Administration on Friday, which was yesterday, asked the AT&T as well as Verizon Communications to delay the planned January 5th introduction of the new 5G wireless service over aviation safety concerns. Now, I did mention that what they said is that the AT&T and Verizon both said they have agreed, or they both received a letter on Friday, but they both agreed to go ahead and push it back. The two companies accused the aerospace industry of seeking to hold the C-band spectrum deployment hostage until the wireless industries agree to cover the cost for upgrading any obsolete altimeters. Now, I know it's going to be about money, and that means that we're going to end up shelling something out. I can only feel it. But Buttigieg and Dickinson said that under the framework, the commercial C-band service would begin as planned in January with the exceptions around priority airports. Now, whenever I hear words like priority or could be or maybes, that means there's something left out. Priority airports, what is that? Is that going to be like Hartsfield, Atlanta? Is it going to be like LAX, but it won't be John Wayne? It won't be the other tiny ones. What does that mean exactly? How does that look? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I agree with you that a lot of people are going to have those same exact symptoms because radiation poisoning, as a matter of fact, looks exactly like the issues that we're having now with people's respiratory and all that. So I agree with you. I agree with you. But what do you think about them delaying it another 2 weeks?
This will see what I can tell from what I've been, especially like Metro PC and all of them, what they're trying to do is to make more money. Okay, well, we'll give you the internet, but you can only get 1 or 2 gigs, you know, so you're going to have to pay for your gigs. Hell, and that could go up to $50, $60, $70. And that's just for your gig. That's not, you know, you making actual phone calls and receiving texts and things like that. So, yeah, this is what these people is doing. So all of this is about money. And they see the one, if you own telecommunication, you a billionaire. If you own some land, hey, you the man. You know, so this is what this is boiling down to. It. Everybody else that don't own nothing, you ain't got nothing, you going to pay homage. And you go pay homage to this. That's why houses, you look at these raggedy houses that people stay in, man, they want to fix them up. They'll take $5,000 or $6,000 to fix up these raggedy houses, but they turn around and sell them for $200,000 to $300,000. And a lot of these raggedy houses, $2,000 to $6,000 is not going to get these houses up to code, but it's cold enough for you to live in, is what they're saying. So, yeah, they're dirty.
Well, that's heavy. I wanted to make an easy transition, though, and talk about marijuana stocks. Marijuana stocks and cannabis investments. Right now, marijuana stocks and cannabis investments are on the rise, and there are two top stocks that they say that people should be looking out for. And there's just two. The marijuana stocks. Oh, I'm sorry. Can anybody hear that? Can you guys hear that?
No.
Okay,
no.
Let me
no.
try to figure out where it's coming from. But the marijuana stocks are really up. They're really high right now. And so they've got a couple of them. that they say are doing exceptionally well. And so the marijuana stocks are setting up the promising new year of trading. Now, this is all depending on a few situations that may play out this upcoming year. It seems that we may see more momentum based on the progress from various cannabis companies. For instance, some companies have completed their M&A, which has created some of the biggest cannabis companies in the industry. So with 2022, right now, on the cusp, where we are right now, we're about to see some really, really big things happening, and there are going to be some really big companies that are going to come out, to which hopefully, they say here in this article, with continued success, it will resonate well among the bulk of cannabis stocks. Not just that, the other companies have created new cannabis products in addition to building and opening new dispensaries. So they're opening new dispensaries. They're doing all kinds of fancy stuff, all of which should help play a part in the potential of seeing bigger rise throughout the sector. Nevertheless, due to how unpredictable the cannabis is or the sector is, there's nothing that is a guarantee. But still, even with much joy to be done with 2021 investors, they don't want a repeat of last year. But here's what I want to ask you guys. And I made a comment about this when I said, you know, Pookie and Ray Ray Nam are still in jail. Some of the Pookie and Ray Ray Nams that were on their third strike back in the 90s are now in there, and they're just in there. The early 2000s, they're just in there. And right now we're hailing all of these people who are dealing in marijuana stocks as heroes and smart investors and, you know, smart companies that are building a better business for themselves. And what do you guys have to say with the juxtaposition of the way they're hailing these folks, great and smart and wise businessmen?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. That's a good word.
And it's no different than hip-hop. Hip-hop started with black people in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Harlem, and with a few Puerto Ricans, and ended up being vilified by all the major companies. They laughed. But look at marijuana. Many brothers and sisters shot, killed, in jail for marijuana, and all of a sudden Karen and Ken, and no diss to them because it's not necessarily their problem, but they're able to do it and not be shot. And it's clearly racist, and it's shocking. Look at the disparity between the war on crack and the war on the drugs that some of the people in the trailers and in poor white communities do. It's considered a mental health situation, but for us, it's crack is a crime. It's a lot of BS.
Well, there's another story that I'd like to get into as it relates to the whole cannabis deal. The New York governor granted clemency to a convicted Jamaican drug dealer who was given 125 years. So I don't know exactly what Hochul is up to, but I do know that I don't trust her and that it has to be something else that's going on. I don't know what it is, but in tandem with the story that we just read, I want to put both of these things out there and then we'll open it up for everybody to chat about. So, yes, the governor did give clemency to this young man who was incarcerated, and he has already done 30 years. I'm not saying that I don't think it's a good idea to let people out, but what I'm saying is, really, seriously, he's going back to his own hometown in Jamaica, and they're saying that, hey, he's served his time. He's done what he was supposed to do, and there's nothing to see here. So in New York, the United States governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, has granted clemency to a convicted Jamaican-born drug dealer along with 9 other immigrants who have shown remorse and exemplified rehabilitation. In commuting the sentence of Roger Cole, 55, Hochul noted that he was originally sentenced to 125 years to life in prison. She says, quote, having been put on trial during the Rockefeller drug law era, during which extremely lengthy prison sentences were handed down for drug-related convictions. This is the reason why she saw fit to do it. In 1989 and 1992, Cole was convicted of 5 counts of criminal sale of controlled substance in the first degree and 1 count of criminal sale of a firearm in the second degree and criminal possession of a weapon in the third degree. His sentence was subsequently reduced on appeal to 85 to 100 years, of which Cole has now served more than 30. If he were sentenced today, Hochul says, he likely would not have faced such lengthy a lengthy sentence. And while incarcerated, she made sure that she pointed out that Cole earned his GED, and he also got an associate's, and he completed numerous vocational training certification programs, including legal research and law library management, and he also earned a certificate for completing 3 business courses while he was incarcerated. Upon his release, Cole will be reunited with his mother and their family members in his home country of Jamaica, who will provide housing and help him find employment. Okay, you just heard the 2 topics. Let's go. Anybody want to be first?
Well, I would say, look at what is that gentleman's name? Shane, who was a rapper, he did some time
Shy.
Over here.
Shy,
and,
believe.
And look what look what he's doing. Yeah. So the man, he know he's seen his mess up, but the man, he got in there, and it ain't easy to do what he did to get those certificates and stuff in jail. Because you only get a chance to go to the law library once a week. So, more power to him. He the man served his time, the man handled his business, they ain't tied him to nothing, and ain't nobody saying that, he was just this major, major drug dealer where he was collecting bodies and stuff. So, it is what it is.
All right. Okay. It is what it is. It is what it is. I guess he put a pin there. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on with regards to the stocks for cannabis. There are 2 that they're looking at as saying that they're really, really projected to do very well. And I just think that the term that was used by caller 111 was so accurate, hypocrisy. It is blatant hypocrisy. I felt like as soon as they started to make this whole thing legal in all the different states that they chose, that everyone, and I do mean everyone, that was incarcerated because of it should be let out, or they should at least be looking at letting them out. But I think the big business of prisons would dictate that they would not do that. For example, if we looked in California, while a current vice president was, ruling basically over the Sacramento area, the Northern California area, that she did a lot of very nefarious things as it related to letting some of these people out. So my point is, I don't think that they would let them out anyway, because they're making so much money with having people incarcerated. I had no idea that Bob Barker had slippers. Bob Barker had, different types of things that they give to the prisoners that they have to literally purchase. And so big business is everywhere. They leave nothing on the cutting floor. And by they, I mean them. They leave absolutely zero on the cutting floor when it comes to making money off of prisoners. And that's why I try to share with everybody, every little thing you think you might want to do, please don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't even get yourself involved in the very appearance of something. Because right now, that's another way to get those who are black in the prison system. Just by the one little thing. Just the one little thing. And that's an issue. So, yeah, okay. They let Mr. Cole out. Okay.
I feel like Bob Barker, when we gonna talk about Bob Barker, oh man, that man makes shirts. He make their boxers. That man make the Vans that these people walk around in, the Bruce Lee.
Are you kidding?
Yes, Bob Barker makes all that, from the soap to the deodorant to your hair product. Matter of fact, Bob Barker owed me some money because I think I went bald using that stuff, that hair food stuff, that green, lime green stuff. He owed me some money. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I think that they need to release these people, and they need to break bread with these people. They need to, because ain't no way in hell you people walking around with a pound, and because they got a pound, you give them a 10-year sentence. You give them a 20-year sentence. Now, if they had the weed and they had some dope and all that other stuff, they was trying to kingpin and things like that, then, hey, it is what it is. But if it's just for some weed, a pound of weed, oh, no. And them people need to be compensated for the mental anguish and stuff that they go through because of their guards don't want to work. Their people don't. Their people just putting the inmates and stuff in harm's way. So, them people know they file and they need to pay. Bob Barker, a trillionaire. He ain't Bob Barker, a trillionaire, because he's in almost every prison system there is. Somebody rocking Bob Barker's. You can even in the jails, Bob Barker. It's him. He's got his hands in it all.
Wow.
Additionally, if we look at...
Go ahead, 111.
Yeah, and piggybacking off what he said, if we look at business fundamentals, a person in a poor community, whether black, Native, Indian, or white, isn't able to avail himself or herself of the same business structures, bank loans, real estate deals as if you get a pound of weed. So if we're comparing things, we would say as a society, wait a minute, how is it that some brilliant business persons from the hood and from the trailer parks, it's easier for them to get a pound of weed or a cocaine deal than it is for them to go into Chase Bank, Citibank, and all the other banks, Bank of America, with a business plan for a legitimate business and get a $50,000, $40,000 loan. So the real problem is poverty and being locked out of the system. And having banks right in the hood that aren't helping the hood to build up. So Johnny goes to one of his contacts and says, look, give me a pound of weed and I'm going to flip that and then give me 2 pounds. And then we jail him instead of jailing the bankers at Chase, Citibank, and Bank of America. Not all of them, of course, but the top ones that are blocking the loans for the community.
Now I'm going to say something because a lot of people may have heard me say something else in a different context. But therein lies the exact, I think his name is, well, I know his name, but I can't think of it right now. But he basically said, that is what racism is. And I would say that is what ethnicityism is. The ability to block you out of money, the ability to prevent you from making money, and the ability to create laws that would put you in prison or jail based on the way you make money. Well, apart from hitting somebody in the head, I think that the weed sales that they were doing and all that other stuff where all these people were put in prison, those individuals really shouldn't have been in there. I don't care what they say. I really don't. I don't care what they say. I believe that, yes, there should be somebody that gives them, you know, that there should be somebody that says, hey, look, these are the rules and regulations and you did X. So we're going to make sure that you can take your entrepreneurial skills. If you want to rehabilitate somebody, show it. Take these cats out and say, all right, you got entrepreneurial skills, my friend. Let me teach you how to take your skill set and put it someplace else. But see, that's too much like right. They're not going to do that. They would rather put them in prison and say, okay, he can rehabilitate himself. Now, he just made a great point. The other young man, he just made a great point. And he said that they only get to go to that library once a week. So he's been in there 30 years, a little over 30 years, and he's amassed with his time all of these different certificates. Now, here's what's going to happen with that young man. He took those specific things that he did and that he learned, and he's going to go over there to Jamaica, and he's going to be an activist. I guarantee you. Why? Because this is a setup. This country doesn't do anything without it being a setup, and I'm segueing to this, okay? But this is a setup. We're going to see this guy's name again. We're going to see him. He's going to be held like, you know, a Mandela. Not that Mandela did anything wrong. I'm saying he's going to be held like a Mandela or any of the other people who've gone forward to say, you know, now I'm an activist for the people. That's what he's going to do, and that's the reason why they sent him back to their home, his homeland. Now, there has been a very big push to legalize marijuana by a lot of Rastafarians, and it's no accident that this gentleman is from Jamaica. There's no accident. It's not by accident or coincidence that this man is from Jamaica. It's not. You're going to hear his name again. I guarantee it. You're going to see his name somewhere, and he's going to be, you're going to be like, wait a minute, isn't that that Cole guy? Isn't that him? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the reason why he's going back to his country. He's not staying here. His mama didn't come here to be closer to him. None of that. All right. That's what's going to happen.
If you look at it, and we're going to break it down like this. You mean to tell me that for me holding a pound of weed, I could get less time than going to the store and stealing $500 worth of stuff than I do for a pound of weed? A pound of weed, are you going to make off of? Because I'm pretty sure if you got a pound of weed, you smoking. The maximum you probably going to make is $650. So $650 that you just made off of 1 pound of weed done cost you your entire life compared to a pound of coke, a pound of heroin, a pound of meth. Them people is making $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 off of one, but a pound of weed maximum you making is $650, and you can be in prison for 10, 15, 20 years? Oh, no, they know they wrong for that one. They need they ass whooped.
Well, I don't think that I've heard it anything like that put so eloquently or flavorful in the past week or so. So for that, I will thank you for adding to it. Thank you for that. And I do agree. I was just sent by my assistant the whole rundown on Bob Barker's stuff. And, yeah, they've got those flip-flops. They got lots of stuff on this website, and it is a scream. They have all of this. They call it the governmental agency ware. So it's service and supplies to correction and government agencies, bobbarker.com. She just sent it to me, and I'm sitting here like, wow. They have rubber house shoes. They've got undergarments. You want it, they've got it. It looks like they do have a lot. They've got the army green and the ever-loving khaki underwear. You just can't prevent those. And then flexible products, see what the flexible products can do for your facility. I hate to click the shop now button, but I'm going to just to let you guys know that he's not tripping. He's absolutely right. Well, it looks like they've got flexible tumblers. They've got silicone chest sets, a big silicone checker set. They've got a silicone multi-game pack. All right. Then they've got dominoes.
I think he got a training manual too.
Well, he's got silicone. Now, mind you, there's silicone chest pieces, and there's also silicone dominoes, silicone checkers, a flexible silicone bowl in the lovely shade of doodle brown. I mean, it's dark brown. And then they've also got a flexible silicone clear tray lids. And, oh, wow. So you get one whole case of 12 for $290 if you want them to be in the shiny gold. And if you are just a little more conservative and you're not really looking for the gold, you can get 12 of those silicone trays for $165.91 for a set of 12. So this is why they're making all the money that they're making right now. They're making all of the money on all of this stuff. And my brother Ronnie says, I told you Bob Barker has a prison game on lock. And he does. But question, is he still alive? Rachel, is he still alive? Does anybody know if he's still around? I thought he died.
Yeah.
Did he die? But he'll probably come back.
No, he's still
like
doing
John
the prices
Candy
right.
Did. Yeah. Oh, well,
he's still doing the prices
on
right.
On the repeat. Because I know that Jesuit, there's a Jesuit that's doing it now. What's his name? Drew Carey.
Are you all saying Bob Barker from The Price of Right is
you
right?
You got it.
Is
you
the
got
same?
It.
I was hearing the name. Yep. I said, okay, this must be another Bob Barker, not the nice old white guy.
He was the biggest sex offender in Hollywood. He was pinching everybody from the kneecaps up. He was pinching everybody from the kneecaps up.
He's still alive.
Is he? Oh, wow. I thought he was going to disappear like John Candy. Because I remember when John Candy died and then he came back. And then I remember when the other guy who plays on a – is that the guy who plays in the television show? It's on HBO. I can't think of his name, but he plays a woman, a mother of these adult children, and they're awful. Anyway, I can't remember it. But this guy died, and he came back, and me and my son were looking at each other. We were watching the show. We were like,
didn't he die? And he was like, I was thinking the same thing. And I was like, so was I, but I didn't want to say anything. So
yeah, he's the Price is Right guy. He's like 98 years old. He turned 98 this year, December 12th.
Oh, wow. Oh, so I wonder if he's going to get his inoculation. Anyway, yeah. So it's Bob Barker, 11111111. It's Bob Barker. Uh-huh. That Bob Barker. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And so my point was to even bringing that up was the fact that I know that Kamala Harris prevented a lot of people from getting out of on their time frame. They were supposed to get out. Say, for example, they were supposed to be released from prison in January. Well, she pushed that back. I hear somebody's calls. I'm sorry. But she pushed their time back to prevent them from getting out when they should have. And they had displayed some of the emails that she had with, say, for example, maybe like Sprint or something like that. And don't quote me on that. This is an example of what I saw, but I don't remember. But I know that she had communication with some of the CEOs and some of the vice presidents of sales and marketing that were dealing with some of the telecommunication companies. And with that, she said, okay, don't worry. We'll handle everything you need, primarily preventing these people from getting out so that they could continue to work for these telecom companies is my point. Does anybody else here on the line remember hearing that?
Yes. Kamala Harris, yes.
Mm-hmm.
She started,
mm-hmm.
what was it, telecom or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they've been pushing that throughout all prisons. And they want their money up front. So it used to be where, you know, you could put money on the books and then they would do it. They have separated that. The money from the commissary, that's separated now. So, yeah, they playing, And I think it's like what? You get, what is it, like 15 minutes for maybe like $4 or $5?
And, you know, I really feel for the family members of people who are innocent that go into that system because a lot of family members that have people who are innocent, and there are people who are in our prison systems right now who are innocent. Remember, we just read stories on that last week where after they let some of these people out, they had already made laws in that particular state where they said, well, we don't do any restitution, so sorry. But my point is that a lot of times what they end up doing is a lot of these people end up with nothing. Once they get out, they have zero. They have zilch. And this lady was literally holding them back from getting out. She literally prevented them from getting out just so that they could meet their quotas. And nobody said anything. And then we have people who are of a certain persuasion that hailed her a shero because she's the first female vice president. And there are some rumors that they have done something in the back office there because they're calling her the president on more than one occasion, not just the gaffe that the seated president made. There's a few other places where people are calling her that. We're at 10 minutes and 45 seconds before we get out of this show. And I want to thank all of you all who called in today. If there are not any more questions or any more statements, I want to ask you guys, what do you think the next 12 months here in the United States is going to look like? If last year is any indication of things to come, I'm going to ask that of all of the callers, and I'll go down the row. Or whoever wants to start, you please do. Please start. 111, what do you think?
We'll be dragged further into loss of rights. We'll be dragged into more shots. And the divisions between all of us will be exacerbated, and we'll be arguing with each other, not necessarily those online, about minor issues instead of the major issues that we should work together on. And it's unfortunate, but it's the way the game will. It's salami slicing, it's called, in parts of Europe. Yeah, hopefully we can get over it. Thanks.
Salami slicing. I like it. That's so true. That is amazing. Salami slicing. Huh. That's exactly what it is. Caller 804-855, we haven't heard anything from you for the past few minutes. Are you still with us?
I'm still right here.
Well, good. What do you think, if any indication over the last year of what's been going on in America, what do you think this year has got in store for the humans that reside on this piece of land?
Well, I'm getting ready to start seeing some daggone knuckles in the street. I'm starting to get ready, probably getting ready to see some fights, some daggone clown shows. Midterm election, and they're going to try to pay. Well, they're actually kind of getting off mandates and talking about testing more now. They probably going to still try to do that, but the thing of the day now is testing. So they just more the same, but they're going to try to intensify, and I see a lot of winter storms coming.
Well, I want to lay this out here and ask you guys if you guys have seen the most recent uproar over two particular situations. I believe one was at a Burger King and the other one was at an Applebee's in the state of New York. And what I saw was when I looked at it this morning, because I had heard a lot of people mention it, and I decided to go and look. They had mentioned it in our chat over on Headlines with a Voice when we did another story. But I went and I looked at it today, and the first thing that I saw was the TV set of NYPD Blue. Let me explain what I'm saying. Don't buy into anything that you see in these things. Not at all. Not at all. Because what I saw was fake. And I'll be able to – I'm going to close out on that. So you guys, while you're about to give me the answer on what we just said for what's going on in the year, mull on that as well. Because I have something I need to say about that. But going ahead, whomever else wants to say what's going on with them, 972-388, how about you? What's going on with you for this year? What do you think is going to happen?
Do not engage.
Do not engage.
Do not engage. Do not approach. Be aware.
Do not engage. Do not approach and be aware. Very good. Can you expound on that?
I don't know. That's just something that came out the sky to eat the. But no, somebody on my Facebook said that this lady, and I don't know what she was meaning by that. So I don't know, man. I really don't know what's coming down the pike. I mean, obviously they setting up and they waiting for the harvest. They definitely, you know, planted the seeds, so they waiting on the harvest.
607-281, what about you? What do you think this year has in store? Now, our new year doesn't start until March, but I'm saying this is their place. So for the next 12 months, what's shaking?
I don't know. I see things going back and forth, and I'm trying to ignore a lot of it. But
yep.
I really don't know, other than, you know, people's rights disintegrating even more and turning the world upside down. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. More of that kind of junk.
I agree. I agree. Is there anyone else that wants to chime in before I give my last statement on what I think is going on in New York?
I just want to add one more thing, if anybody wants.
Sure.
Over the last 21 years, can y'all believe that three major life-changing altering events, 9/11, the recession, was the 28-29 recession? I mean, 2008-2009 recession, and now this 2019, this 2020 thing, it's amazing. That of these 21 years, what has transpired.
I'd like to see if we could go back from that and see what happened over the previous set of 21. That's a very good point that you bring up. Very good point. You know, that's a very good point.
And remember, with all these tragedies, no one is held accountable. In most companies, if a president keeps failing or the CEO, they get fired. What happens in politics for both Republicans and Democrats is instead of getting fired, they just rebrand themselves and keep rising. Meanwhile, the people suffer. So the workers suffer as the leaders fail, and we get pollution. We get September 11th. We get COVID 1, 2, 3, 4, 19, 20, and no one's fired. Everyone's just getting more jobs. So I don't understand.
I like it. 1, 2, 3.
I would say that, you know, look at the evolving of the black media. The black media has evolved, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and they see that the black media is coming with a conscious but political conscious that's coming. That's freaking them out because they see it's biblical. It's going biblical. So I think for the next, you know, little bit, hey, it's going biblical, and they scared of it. They, ooh, it's cold. Yeah. Hey, y'all knew what it was.
I like that. I like that. Well, listen, we're going to close it up, but before we do, I'd like to give my closing statement, and I'd like to point out that, yes, what is going on in New York really should be focused on, and here's why. You know, when I looked at some of the things that were going on two of the clips that I looked at, I'll take, for example, the one that was going on in Applebee's, where they said there was this poor child who was being harangued by the police because somebody said that he had not had, they wanted him to show papers. There was also a mirror situation that happened, I believe, and it was in New York as well, but it was a Burger King. Here's the deal. Look at the body language of the individuals who are standing in those frames. Look at the hair. Look at the clothing. Look at the uniforms on the police. Count the amount of police. Does that make sense? Does any of it make any sense? Look at the parents or the women that were with the little boy inside of Applebee's. Do you see how calm they were? Do you see their resolve that they had or they maintained while they were sitting there? You see how the lady grabs the little boy? But more importantly, look at the child's face. Now, more than likely, these things will change because I'm saying this publicly and because I'm saying this and the Prince of the Air hears me. So the next time there may be some tears in some of the children's faces. There may be some anguish in their faces. The mothers may seem to be afraid and even hide up under the tables, as it were. But I want to tell you that what I saw looked like a session of a movie clip or a television clip. Now, Felicia, how can you say that? They were in a building. The lights were on. How many businesses have been shuttered in New York? How easy would it have been for those who have money and influence to literally take these people and put them in one of those buildings, turn the lights back on, and stage this whole entire thing to further propagate the belief of downsizing the police? How easy was that? I submit it's very easy. And I always believe that when you are looking at something, you should really be careful and look at it carefully. Look at it next time. That's how you can tell if something is right or wrong. Before we leave, we're going to go out with a song, and I want to let everybody know that I appreciate each and every one of you for showing up with me today. We're here every day, 2 p.m. Oh, wow. How much stuff can we talk about? Well, you can join me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tomorrow's my Sabbath, so I will not be here on that day. I'm going to be chilling. I'm going to be worshiping. But every time after that, 2 p.m., and anytime I'm going to have a special, you'll be the first to know if you follow me here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Lockhart Perspective, and I want to say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah. You guys take care of yourselves and take care of one another. Here's Joel 3 by Ronnie Mann.
If you're gonna do it, you better do it now. If you gotta find it, you better find it now. Yeah. If you're gonna talk it, you better talk it now. If you're gonna walk it out, you better walk it now. Yeah. Feel what I feel when I feel. Thank you.
15 minutes and chat and maybe talk about some things that we did not speak about before. We still have a few callers here, so if you'd like to join the conversation, please do. Hello to everyone. Everybody else is gone, but there's just a few of us, and that includes you and me. So there are topics that we can talk about here in the back end, the after party, as it were. That song was Joel 3 by Ronnie Mann, and I hope you guys like that. You can't get that song anywhere else, nowhere. Did you know that? Did you know that, caller 607 or 111 or 757? Did you know you couldn't get that anywhere else? But right here on the Lockhart Perspective.
Felicia?
Yes?
I have to make a correction.
Oh, no worries.
Okay. Bob Barker, I'm looking up the company, and I found that I'm wrong. It's not the Bob Barker from, The Price is Right.
Oh, well,
it's not
you're
that guy.
Not the only one that's not wrong. A lot of us thought that it was him. A whole bunch of people thought that it was him. So I'll go ahead and make the correction and type it up and put it on the outside so that people can see it. But, honey, you have nothing to worry about because I thought it was that Bob Barker. Everybody did.
I wanted to put it out there verbally to anyone who's listening. I was incorrect.
Okay, no problem. I don't even think you brought that up, though. I think the other guy did. But thank you for that. What were you going to say? 111111111. 111 still with me? I see him. Yeah, but
maybe
it's okay.
He muted himself.
Oh yeah, you have to hit the one if you want to say something. And even though your hand was up, it'll still happen. But anyway, yeah. So that's exactly what's going on, and I do know that there is a lot of stuff that's about to change as far as some of the laws in the state of New York. They are really ramping up, changing the whole entire scheme of things in New York right now. And that's why I'm saying be cognizant when you're looking at these things, and you have to remember that there's an agenda, and the top of the year literally is when they started all this stuff with regards to the children, because they really do want the children to get inoculated, and they want to kill two birds with one stone, possibly three. I haven't looked into it enough to figure out what the third stone is, but the first stone's obviously – you know, get rid of the popos. Second one, make sure you get your kids poked. And the third one, I haven't thought about it yet. I don't know what the third one might be, but I know that that was a lot of NYPD blue old outfits that they must have gotten from the studio sitting in that restaurant that day. When I'm sitting here looking at the woman behind the counter and she's running her jibs and the police are just sort of standing around, police don't have that luxury of time. If you call them and you say it's a child, generally they're going to send a man and a woman, or you'll get two cars, men and women in them, and they'll come and they'll check it out, maybe four people max. Sometimes it could be three if they're not doing much. And I'm just saying on an average, right? So why would they have like 30 police officers in these incidents where there are mothers with children and none of them, the one in the burger, none of them are going off, going crazy and raising up their fists and trying to fight the people behind the counter? You're not seeing any of that. You're not seeing any of that. You're seeing men make a lot of noise. You're seeing a lot of people be outraged. But where was the outrage to all the injustices when it wasn't cold outside? People are losing their shirts right now, and it's cold. So my question is, what's really going on, and what's it all about, Alfie? There's something that's afoot, and I submit that what's afoot is the fact that they are trying to take over New York is pretty much spent. I can't see, I don't know. What do you think, Rach, about New York right now?
Excuse me. I'm really not sure what to think, because I think it looks like they're doing different things in different areas, but they're concentrating on New York City. And they are one of the cities that signed up for, you know, everything to be changed, you know, turning it into a, what do they call them, smart cities. So they've got to change everything to get people in lockstep.
Really? So now it's just you and me and Ronnie left on here. That's it. All right, so I agree with you. I'm going to get off here and upload this video that I have done all my research on, and then I'm going to be giving out a whole bunch of information about CERN, 5G, the magnetic field, the magnetic pull, the magnetic, all that stuff. What's going on with all the graphene? Where is that stuff? All this other stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to upload this.
I wonder if any of those people in CERN ever get possessed.
Probably. Wait till you see the story that I'm working on. It is amazing. It is way out. You would never believe that it's not just them. Our concerns really, you know, I don't want to get into my work, but let me just tell you. Well, it's good to see you. It's good to see my brother who's quiet and relaxed there on the line. And I will see everybody later. I'll probably go on live later on this evening. More than likely, it'll be on the Lockhart Perspective. And hopefully you guys will be able to join me. You guys take care. Love you both. Take care. Bye.
Love you. Later.
Y'all have a good one.